Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the call this evening. I've been thinking about this call all week and giving it a new name. I'd like to call it our Tuesday night celebration of life. So we get together every Tuesday night as a group to celebrate our successes, maybe to lick a wound or two from the week, and get regrounded in preparation for taking on our lives in this next week ahead. I've had a very interesting day of coaching. Oh, by the way, I'm now on Facebook. Anybody that would like to be a friend, I'm doing it. They've almost blocked me because I can only accept so many. So if it takes a few days for me to accept a friend, just know it's not because I'm not there. It's because Facebook blocks a person if they do it too quickly, and apparently that's been happening. But join us on Facebook. Dave Blanchard on Facebook, Og Mandino, Intentional Creation. You can go to any one of those places, wonderful pages for them, but my personal page. I just put it on mute, so if you'd like to participate, just press *6 and you'll be able to come on the line, and that way we'll keep the call as clean as possible. But come on to Facebook and share your ideas, your breakthroughs, anything that's happened with you on a scroll or the intentional creation piece. Just come in there and write what's on your mind, and just share with the community, those that are coming on and reading. I have not been a Facebooker. I have been putting this off forever. I wrote about this on Facebook the other day, my true confessions, the second day on Facebook. I didn't think I had time. But I've had so much fun connecting with so many friends. I got in trouble because I was clicking on my friends and writing on their wall just to say hi and connecting, and I guess you can only do so much of that, and Facebook gets all upset about it. Of course, I wasn't saying anything but really nice things anyway, but that's just how it works. But come and join us, and let us know what's happening in your life. Share some pictures with us. We had some pictures my brother took of he and Jason at the San Antonio convention, standing there with 55,000 people behind them at the opening ceremonies, and every time I look at that picture, it still makes me want to cry. I have in my possession now the official one-year chip for his sobriety that he picked up a week ago last Monday, and what an exciting time for him. This week, in our coaching sessions, personal coaching sessions, I've been sharing a thought. And I wanted to start tonight before we get into our power sessions and sharing what's happened over the course of last week and being present in the now. One of the most powerful moments of being present in the now occurs when we catch ourselves acting different than we're actually feeling. I'm going to give you a couple examples. This morning, and I'm still in my biking clothes. Isn't that ridiculous? Got up early this morning, and Ramon and I went on a wonderful bike ride. We're trying to get in shape. We're getting in shape for the Bear Lake Brawl that's at the end of August, and we'll see if this old guy is going to be able to survive without having a heart attack. We had a great ride this morning, and I've just been on one phone call after another all day long with wonderful people, having some celebrations and some working through some challenges. And here we are tonight, and I want to share with you what happened this morning. There I was, airing up my tires. And if any of you have done any bicycling, a tire can be just a little temperamental, and mine was being temperamental. And I was having a hard time getting the valve to open up and getting everything to connect so that I could fill with air. And I was kind of grumbling, you know. It was early this morning. And got the bikes all put up and climbed in the car and had this moment of awareness. I turned to Ramona and I said, you know, I feel a whole lot better than I sound. And smiled. I feel a whole lot better than I sound. I had a couple instances. We talked about this briefly last Tuesday night. Our San Antonio trip had so many wonderful things, economics was not one of them. It was a painful reality, very costly financially, wonderful emotionally, spiritually, all of the other things, the service we were able to provide, the people we met, all wonderful things. Economically, a disaster. Came home, and anybody been in one of those situations where they wish it could be different than it is? I mentioned this briefly last Tuesday night and received a really tender, wonderful email on Wednesday morning that just moved my soul. Anybody there? Anybody having an experience where something's showing up in your life that you just don't want it to be that way? Dad burn it, you know? But it just is what it is. And quite often when we have one of those, what happens to us is we get sucked into those moments. Sounds like we have somebody that came off of mute. Would you like to share? Or just press *6 so we can put you back on mute if you would, please. Just have a conversation going on in the background. Thank you so much. So we're facing this challenge. We don't want it to be that way. And we can get sucked into it. Matter of fact, our habits of thinking have already taken our free will. Our free will we've lost through these years of accumulated habits, and the past deeds of our life have already threatened to mark out a path which threatens to imprison our future. We have behaviors when these things happen that we've been doing for a lifetime. We get caught up in this and we start catastrophizing, or we have anxiety, or we get angry or frustrated or a little ornery. I may say a little pissy. And in that moment, to be able to say, wow. Now, don't anybody be offended by this. It was this raw. That sucks. But I'm okay. That sucks. But I'm okay. If you could, just for a moment, take a look at whatever's happening in your life. If there's anything that you don't want to have happening that is, just separate yourself from it for a moment. You know, that is not fun. That is a pain. That is painful. I don't want to be in that space. I don't know that I've got the energy for it. That really sucks. But you know, when I reflect on myself right now in this moment, I really am okay. Ramona and I had a tender conversation about this when she brought my sandwich down to me today. And we were sitting here visiting, and I said, you know, it's interesting. But sometimes we get into that ugly space because we want people to feel sorry for us or to pity us or to, oh, you poor thing, and try to give us comfort. And when we get in that ornery kind of a grumpy mood, the truth of the matter is this. We are simply draining everyone around us. We've been drained, and now we're draining them. And we are not fun to be around. We're just not fun. If we can, in that moment, step back and say, that sucks, but I'm okay. I'm okay. And know when we say that, the very first reaction of some of your thought process is going to be, well, then I won't be able to feel sorry for myself. I won't. If I'm okay, then nobody else needs to feel sorry for me. Can you feel it? I can tell you, to make the conscious decision in that difficult moment to go into intentional creation is one of the most powerful things that we can do for our own self-esteem. To just be aware in that moment, that sucks. But I'm okay. I don't need to act based on that thing over there. I'm okay. I don't need your pity. I don't need your sorrow. Because you most likely won't get it anyway. You're just going to drain them. I'm not going to drain people anymore. This is when Og says that trees and plants depend on the weather. But yay, I make my own weather. I carry it with me. If I bring rain and gloom and doom and pessimism, people aren't going to go, oh, you poor thing. They're just going to be repelled. But if I choose to bring joy and peace and enthusiasm and excitement, in spite of that thing over there that sucks, I'm okay. And I show up like that. One, I bless the lives of everyone around me. That's one. Two, I begin to heal my own self-esteem because I'm now being authentic, anthosectic. I'm acting on my own moral authority. I'm doing the right thing for the right reason because I want to get to and choose to. Not want to and get to and choose to do things that are foolish, but the right thing for the right reason. I'm being authentic. That begins to heal my self-esteem. And third, we are finally free to consciously go into creation. We have spent some of the most amazing days. Krista from my office and I have had some just delightful brainstorms about the website, Intentional Creation. In the next week or so, you're going to see some really drastic changes to the site. You're going to see a new homepage that's just friendly, that invites people to come and listen to some stories and go view some tools or take the assessment. And when they come to the tools, they'll be able to click on them and find out all kinds of stuff about them before they make decisions about buying them. They can listen to the stories, Oh, to Breathe Again, and the Curing the Ease Disease, and Becoming an Intentional Creator, and other stories that we'll add along the way. Just a rich, wonderful place for people to come and be touched by these principles in their life. And I can tell you right now, some of those decisions would have never happened, not in the near term, had we have been stuck in that place over there that sucks. It sucks our energy. Sucks our enthusiasm. It sucks out light. It sucks out creativity. It sucks out inspiration. It sucks out ideas. It just sucks. But I'm okay. So we've gone through in the last few weeks, and welcome to anyone who's just joining us for the first time tonight. How exciting to have you with us. And we're going to cycle all the way through these, so you'll catch those who have been on as we've gone through the qualities of an intentional creator. The first one, connecting with people, stepping into their world, noticing them, actually being there to serve them. Quality two, goals and expectations, where we learn the destructive ways in which we use our mind, which are the ones that show up when we're facing a challenge. Oh, just want to suck us right in and suck all our energy and life out of us. Instead, in this moment, in charge, authentic, acting on my own moral authority, I connect with a power greater than myself and engage in mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, and problem solving. I had one of our new coaches call me this afternoon. So excited. He was just so excited. He'd been serving people. He said, you know, that one phrase, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. He says, I've been showing up that way. He's transitioning from a career with Toyota to being a coach. He was on the floor this week, sold 9 cars in 3 days. It's got to be a record. And he got 2 wonderful new coaching clients just by being there for them and stepping into their world and debriefing their assessments and finding out that, sure enough, that power that governs abundance actually put 2 people on his path in the last 2 days who needed exactly his life experience. If there's anyone I can serve. based on the Gethsemane's I've experienced, the challenges I've faced, the frustrations I've overcome, based on where I've been, if there's anyone I can serve who needs to know what I've learned, put them on my path, and I will serve them. I will show up. I will listen. I will serve them. And he says, sure enough, they were. He says, if I can do this in the cars, I can do this with my coaching. I can teach my clients how to do this with their lives. This is very exciting. And now we're dealing with, okay, we're using our mind constructively. And we want to ignite passion, which comes when these inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems arrive. We take that passion into our lives in the here and now. And we begin the exercise of power sessions, being present in the now. And one of the most important ones you'll ever do during the day is when you're faced with a challenge, to be present enough to step back. That sucks. But I'm okay. Now, again, I hope that doesn't offend anyone. It's not intended to. But that does sometimes suck. As in the life right out of you. But I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm going to be present today. I'm going to read Scroll 5 first thing in the morning. I'm going to pick those three things of high value that are most important. And when those events occur in the day, I'm going to be fully present, really there, bringing all of my power, all the power of that power greater than myself, all of my insight, all my creativity, everything to that moment to bless the lives of a person. I'm going to read Scroll 9 at noon. I will act now. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. And then I'm going to finish those power sessions, three of them, just three. I'm going to write something down in a journal. Not a lot, unless I love journaling. Just a little, couple of things to remind me of what happened during those power sessions. Then I'm going to read Scroll 7, because sometimes things just don't work out the way I'd like them to, because sometimes that over there sucks, even though I'm okay. And so I need to laugh at the world, or I want to laugh at the world. Keep things in perspective. This, too, shall pass. Sleep like a baby and do it again. Now, that was your assignment for the week. I've had a few emails from people who said, because I mentioned last week, there's only four people out of the hundreds and hundreds of people I personally coached, and the hundreds more we've done in groups like this, there's only been four who did what I just explained for 1 week. And I had a number of people say they wanted to be number five, and I'm so excited to discover if number five is on the line with us tonight. Now, you don't have to be number five to share. I shared with you last week that it sounds really easy to be present three times a day. In fact, retrospectively, you can look at your week now and say, how hard was it? Was that really hard? So if it was, now you know why success eludes. Because we spend too much time in our mind, and most likely when we're in our mind, thinking destructively. That's just the truth for most of us. And so we begin the process of getting out of that place over there. That sucks, but I'm okay. We start thinking constructively. And then we start acting on our impressions. And power sessions will become increasingly easier to do over time. And the more you're able to be present in a moment, the more likely you'll create something magnificent, the quicker you will discover success in your life. Remember, success is nothing more than a series of successfully executed pivotal moments, moments of decision. That sucks. I'm okay. I'm okay. So let's open up the lines. You just have to press star 6 to come off. So excited to hear from you today. So who'd like to come up first and share their experience with Power Sessions this week?
I can't wait. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is this Alexandra?
It is. It is.
Oh, Alexandra, you're going to be at our cabin in a couple weeks.
I know. I can't wait. But I'm telling you, if you didn't have me on mute when you were talking, you would have heard me hysterical over on this end, because I am who you were talking about. However, I said, this sucks, but I didn't add the rest of it. I wasn't able to add the rest of it. Oh, my God. I have to tell you, this is, okay, I was totally into catastrophizing. I have to tell you the little story, because this is, it really is a great story. I got a letter from a man in prison about a month ago. He loved my book. He picked it over Wayne Dyer, Chopra, etc. It turned his life around in prison, he wrote me. He did yoga, he'd meditation for 90 days. He loved my book, wrote me this letter. I sent him my book so he could have one of his own, but somehow or other, the book didn't get in the envelope, and he just got the envelope. So I never heard from him. I don't know what happened. Anyhow, 2, 3, 4, 5 days ago, I came across his letter, and I thought, I'm going to pick up the phone and call. So I call. I have this great conversation with his partner, wife, I don't know who it is. Great. She said, oh, my God, Michael is going to be ecstatic when he knows that you called him, the author of this book that turned his life around. I talked to him on the telephone. We have an amazing conversation. He says his mantra is trust the process. I tell him about the business that I'm in. He said, I've been asking the universe, what is the next thing that I need to do? And you call and present this opportunity. I'm all over it. Great. I sent him information. I sent him pictures. I said, come to this training. Okay, I'm coming. I'm absolutely coming. I'm on the calls in the morning. I'm coming. Okay, Friday night I get an email saying, okay, have a safe trip in, because I'm traveling 2.25 hours to go to this training to meet him, and see you when you get here. He's not there. And I hear nothing. It's like he dropped off the face of the only thing I can think is that he and his wife died or something, you know. There's just like, what happened to this person? I could not be there for probably most of the training. And I kept working with myself, Dave.
You're talking about be there as in being present.
Being present, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope this is helpful to other people. But I am so ecstatic that I get to share it anyhow. I just sat there, and I was going through the motions, and I couldn't bring myself to be present. It sucks. I didn't say that exactly, but I was angry. And what I was angry at on the way home, my friend says to me when I told her about this, you know, maybe you're just a slow learner. And because I said, what does it take for me to get out of this catastrophizing? When and then? It was such a great story. Oh, my God. I had the whole picture going on about what a great story this was, et cetera, et cetera. And I simply lost it inside of myself. I just, everything crumbled, you know, and I heard you with the norepinephrine and the cortisol and the dropping and the sinking and I heard you, and I was there. I did everything that I could to work with myself. Every tool I brought out to work with myself. And it was really the lesson that I thank him for, is that, you know what, I don't want to do these highs and lows anymore. I want to do something that I learned in 1971 from one of the original human development trainings, EST, develop witness consciousness, to watch my world and not get sucked in, because that's what I did. So I am a different person today. God, I hope I've learned my lesson. Oh, my God. So, that's my story.
Oh, Alexandra, thank you. Let's dissect just for a moment. When you got very, very excited about him coming, did you at all, go beyond that meeting to what might happen if he got in the business?
Oh, yes. You know, what was exciting is that here's this man who was in the marketing business before, and he was doing landscaping now. He has two little children. Honest to God, I just thought to myself, he was in prison for a DUI, and he was turning his life around dramatically, meditating. My book he carried around like a Bible. He was quoting his wife. He would call her and he would quote from the Bible, from my book. And I honestly, God, that's such a big part of me is, God, I can help this person. And
somebody loved all that work I poured into the book.
Yeah.
And look what we could create for his life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, and he was like, whoa, I can't believe you're calling me. He was like blown away that I was talking to him on the phone. What do I call you? Dr. Dallas Abrams? I said, please, you know, call me Alexandra. So, anyhow, that was it. It was the sheer excitement of what we could create together.
Yeah. Well, you've taught us well tonight, because many of us, and I know our San Antonio experience, short of 2 months ago, saying the only thing that causes problems is if it rained, but it never rains in Texas in July, unless a hurricane's coming through, which is what happened. If you spend 1 minute beyond the next event,
oh boy,
we are setting ourselves up, because 97% of the people on this phone tonight have thought processes that vividly visualize with such vividness, with such intensity, that the mind gets so locked into that vision, there's no longer an idea, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. This guy's signed up. He's got a big organization. He's on the stage. He's thanking you. The world is exciting. He's the greatest story ever in your company, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's not just an idea. It's not just exciting. The mind is locked into it. Mm. It's become a concrete condition for happiness and expectation. And the only thing the body can do when something happens different than the expectation is to attempt to defend it. And you discovered that day, you described it as beautifully as I've ever heard described, Alexandra. You tried everything. You've got a PhD in psychology. You know how to get out of this. But the neuroscientists tell us it is Herculean, that when this hits, when that cortisol hits our body and those fear dendrites shut down the functionality in our brain, all the intellectualizing in the world is not going to get us out of the moment. It's too late. We have to go through now this process of dealing with this anxiety and frustration and letting it slowly bleed off of our body, if you will, until we can finally get back to sanity. And when we finally get back and we can feel that darkness wanting to suck us back in, that's when we say, that sucks. I'm okay, not going back there, not going back in there. It's an awareness before the event, because if it doesn't occur before, as you so beautifully described, when it hits, it'll sink any ship. Even the most powerful and brilliant and well-educated, sophisticated, beautiful woman like you, it'll sink any ship. It just does. So we have to be very careful how we use our mind so that we don't race ahead into that fantasy, that we stay in the creation. What can I do to prepare for that event and not spend one moment beyond it? Then if that event doesn't come off, then I reschedule and work another event. And you step into his world and say, you know, he's got an alcohol challenge. He was in prison for a DUI. I wonder if he got into AA. I wonder if he got a sponsor. I wonder if he's doing his steps, or whether he thought he had intellectualized himself beyond all of that. And he maybe drank again. And you'll find out that he was on a bender. And most likely that's what you'll find. And you'll have an opportunity. You'll have another opportunity. You don't have that kind of an experience with a human being and have them drop off the face of the earth forever. There's something happening to him, not to you, and not his perception of you, but to him. And so you just turn your heart and your compassion back to him.
Yep.
How can I serve him? And you stay focused on how you can serve him. How can I serve him? Great story. Now, did you have a chance to do any power sessions this week?
You know what? I set an intention to do it, and it didn't work out. So to answer your question, no.
That's fine. Now, you know that if you're not in a power session, you're probably not being terribly productive. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I was and I wasn't. I wasn't as productive as I could be. That's right. I was not as productive as I could be. I did take action. Absolutely took action in many, many ways.
Yes. Count those power sessions.
Yeah. Okay.
When you're
fully present with someone,
you're in a power session.
Okay.
You're in a power session. The only risk with not establishing that in the morning is that we can be fully present doing something that really doesn't move us closer to our dreams.
Okay.
We can be really busy. And we can get a lot done, but it may be the wrong things that we're doing. Not the wrong things, but maybe not the most effective things. That's the reason for the power session, so that we pick the three most important that will move us one step closer to our dream. So we know that got done. Because most of you on the phone get things done, and you're present doing those. They just might not be the most important, because when we talked last week, we talked about first question is, why am I here? In other words, why am I doing this task? And how? Second question, how will this task move me closer to my vision? And then we ask ourselves, is this the next right thing to do? Has everything been done in preparation for this? So that we are doing things in a sequential order, so that we're not leaping ahead and doing the things that we just want to do. We're doing the next most important thing to move us forward. Well, thank you, Alexandra. Anyone else that wants to share an experience this week or an experience with a power session? If you're talking, I'm not hearing you, so you might want to come off of mute. Just press star 6. Anybody do a power session this week?
Dave?
Now what? Yes.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. So I did some power sessions, but I also had kind of one of those experiences. And actually, I sent you a little email about it. I don't know if you saw it.
I got it early this morning, and I haven't read any of my emails yet today because I'm still in my bike clothes from this morning. But when I finish this call, I'll have a couple hours to sit and get through those, so I'll be excited to read yours.
Okay, well, it has to do with my daughter, and I I got a call that she's not doing well. Yeah. And so she's been there 3.5 months, and, you know, it's been going pretty well, but I guess she's dropped a lot of weight, and they think she's purging a lot. In fact, she's leaving evidence of it around, but she's denying it. So when this woman called me, I was in Idaho Falls going to a doctor appointment, and I, you know, it was like a blow to my stomach, you know, and it was not anger or irritability, but just sadness that kind of overwhelmed me. And, you know, I just listened, and I thought a lot about it, and where I really went was, okay, there's nothing that I can do except pray for her and just pray for the people that they can help her through this. And I just got kind of clear about that. You know, I've shared that I've sort of been through my own recovery about taking, you know, her whole 7 or 8 years of addiction. And I didn't lose it. I mean, I felt pretty centered, and it just came to me like, she's going to be okay, but it's going to be a long road. It's going to be a long road. It's not going to be easy. So anyway, I felt grateful for feeling centered and not going into despair or darkness, not feeling, you know, disheartened. I'm sad that she's still struggling. But, you know, talked to one of my sisters, and got some, you know, we talked a lot about it. I got a lot of different people praying for her and for where she is, and I am still going about my days and doing what I'm doing and feeling good about it. So I think that this work has really helped me not fall into that. It isn't that there isn't a certain level of concern, because, you know, but I really am powerless to do anything for her right now, other than that. So I was able to still focus on things I needed to get done and be productive, and I feel like that's moving in a good direction for me.
Do you know what I love most about you?
I have no idea.
You always help me put my challenges in perspective. I just have so much.
Tell me more about that.
Okay, I will. You and I have talked privately about this, that moms who dedicate their lives at the expense of their own retirement and health and sanity to do everything they can to bless a child who's struggling with addiction, I just believe there's a special place in heaven. I'm actually embarrassed that I got frustrated over a couple of things this week that, in retrospect, or in comparison to the challenge with your daughter, I won't mention her name, we have earlier, weeks before, just pale in such comparison. I love you because you keep me in perspective, and two, you always handle it so well. For me to say that sucks, but I'm okay, when I'm looking over what I'm talking about, it's kind of silly compared to what you're looking at, because that really is painful. Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
it really does, and it's life and death. Nobody's at risk of dying over here. You've got that risk now, Cynthia. Do you have my cell phone number?
Yes, I believe I do.
Okay. I'm embarrassed I didn't read your email this morning. I saw it this morning. And I'm going to get to them tonight. I'm just about caught up from the trip. There may be an experience in the weeks ahead. There may be a time when you need immediate contact. And the very best way to get me immediately is a text message.
Okay. Thanks.
Because I can see those, and if I'm in the middle of a coaching session and there's an emergency, I can stop. So if there's an emergency in the next few weeks, would you just text me?
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And I shared it not because I wanted you to, you know, praise me or for sympathy, but because I really feel like this work has helped me.
Yeah, you're doing it. You're actually doing it.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting? The truth of the matter is that you are tonight the epitome of the thing we opened up this whole meeting with. That sucks, but I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the epitome. That is the, yeah. And when you can do that, you will, in fact, be able to connect with and go into creation. And if there is something that can be solved that you'll control, you'll find it. You'll get an idea, which you'd never get if you got caught up in it. Your self-esteem will get battered, because if you get caught up in it, you start beating yourself up about a mother and why I couldn't do it and why it didn't turn out the way, and, you know, everybody else seems to have kids that aren't having problems like this, and, you know, all the things that a mother can say to themselves about a child that's got a challenge, because moms just have a tendency to take it all personally. But you can be in creation and not miss opportunities, because you're in a position in life where you can't afford to miss one. Just can't afford to miss one. So congratulations. It's awesome. Yeah, that's really the point. The point is you are doing it. And thank you. What great stories Alexandra tells us about fantasizing, catastrophizing, and Cynthia, you've given us a perfect example of one of those moments that can just about bury you emotionally if you don't step back from it and separate yourself from the event. I'm okay. That's a problem. I would invite all of us who are on the phone tonight. There are many praying people here. And many of you are exercising that. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. There's a very good chance we just had somebody put on our path. As Cynthia said, the only thing she really can do right now is pray for her daughter. I would ask you, if you're a praying person or a meditating person, I'll give you the name. If it's okay, Cynthia, may I mention her name?
Yes, it's fine.
It's Molly. Put Molly in your prayers. She really is at a critical point in her addiction, because it's multiple addictions, and it's just, prognosis is not healthy. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take the hand of God to step in and do this. So, Cynthia, let us join you more consciously, since so many here want to serve anyway. That's the way we could serve. We could serve Cynthia and serve Molly by calling down the powers of heaven to bless her. And if nothing, just to give Cynthia strength and support during that time. Thanks for sharing.
Okay. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Lisa, are you with us tonight by any chance? Just checking to see if Lisa was going to be here. I got a nice email from Lisa this week. Well, thanks, everyone, and especially for the sharing, Alexandra and Cynthia. Let's recommit this week to do these power sessions. thing that's most common that will stop us from doing them is when we get sucked into those things that are happening in our lives. That sucks. And we step back, we say, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I can do this in spite of. If we want to create a different result, we don't like where we are, we can't go somewhere else until we step back and do what Cynthia did. Separate herself from the event, see it objectively, focus on what she can do, and still be okay. And now we start that process of mental creation to ignite our passion. Then we bring that passion into the here and now, and we look at it and say, why am I here this morning? What is my goal again? 6:30 this morning, what's my goal? My goal is to be down to XYZ or X pounds by a certain date. My goal is to ride my bike in the sprint triathlon at Bear Lake. Oh my goodness, I am so far from preparation, I can't skip a morning. And be out there on the trail this morning following Ramona while she's just pumping like a mad woman and I'm trying to keep up with her. And then start thinking about those things that are most important. I had the most delightful time this morning on a bicycle, panting as I was just pedaling like crazy to keep up with her, reflecting on her. I was just reflecting how much I loved her and how much I adored her. And what a joy she is in my life. What a joy she is in everyone's life when she's around, or anyone's around her. What she does and how capable she is and all that she does. Never a complaint. Yeah, the passion finally got ignited. Because what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? What can we do during this thing that may not normally be that exciting to create passion? Because the objective is to, in this case, lose weight. Get in shape, finally. But sometimes that's not enough to get us out of bed. We'll want to take the task itself and make it interesting. Not just to do the task to get to the goal, but make the task itself interesting. What could I create? How could I create it? How would this serve? Well, we started by going to a really fun place to ride, so the ride itself could be joyful as much as possible. Took some pictures, followed Ramona, had some wonderful experience, some time thinking about her. That's why we do power sessions. Power sessions help us identify the next thing that needs to be done to move us one step closer to our dream. And that thing may be something we don't want to do. Not that time of the day. Maybe some other time, but not right now. But right now is when it's required. If we want to get closer to our dream. Dream can ignite our passion. When we got it, it got us excited. It may not have us as excited today because we may have a bunch of that crap over there that sucks. And it's sucking all our enthusiasm. And so we stop. I'm okay. We look at it. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And we find a new passion around the event. And what we know is when we're done with any task, whether it's a bike ride, or a proposal needs to be written, or phone calls that need to be made, or you want to make, there's a sense of accomplishment. I have been flying high since early this morning, just flying high all day long, just off that one sense of accomplishment of actually doing that. And you can too. It just requires intentional creation. It is intentionally created. I want to put myself out as some example today, because this morning was a great morning. But I have experienced some grumpy moments in the last few days. Some grumpy moments. What I'm sharing with you is born out of experience in the last few days. That sucks. But I'm okay. I'm going to move us into just briefly tonight. The first principle in finding joy in the journey. It's the principle in quality number 5. It's before we go into structure and order, I just want to mention it to you because I think we need to have it tonight. Just feel impressed to share it with you. In the principle of gratitude, there's a lot of confusion. And the confusion is, if I want more, how can I be grateful for what I have? Is it inappropriate to want more in my life? Am I violating some spiritual covenant that I made at my church or something by wanting more than I have? Am I selfish? Am I greedy? Am I dissatisfied? Am I an ingrate? Because I want more in my life? Log said there's a flame that burns inside of us. It's a constant irritation to our souls to be better than I am, and I will be. I will fan this flame of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. We don't say, well, you know, at least I didn't lose everything, or, you know, I should be grateful because, I mean, only one arm got cut off, you know, that kind of a discussion. That's not gratitude. Gratitude is much different than that. Gratitude is taking an inventory of our lives in the morning. And this could be part of this power session discussion. Just a few moments of meditation. So grateful. Grateful that you have food to eat. Grateful that you have a roof over your head, a car to drive. Grateful. Is it everything that you'd like to have? No, but that you do have. So we're grateful for it. So we honor the giver of the gift by first acknowledging the gift. And then we honor the giver of the gift by taking what we've been given and making the most we can with that. Creating the most that can be created. Turning our 5 talents into 10, our 2 into 4. Multiplying our value 100-fold, as Og says in Scroll 8. Taking on this fear, that sucks, but I'm okay. Grateful for what I have, but I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to create as much as I can with it today to move it one step closer to something better. And at the end of the day, after I'm finished creating and moving everything forward one little millimeter at a time, I express gratitude for the experiences of the day, for what was learned during the day, for the opportunities that came during the day, for life. Sleep like a baby. And the next morning we do the same thing again. We take an inventory. We express gratitude for what we have. Then we honor the giver by making the most possible with it. That's all power sessions are for. Power sessions to assist us in being intentional in taking what we have been given and intentionally creating the most we can with what we've been given. That may occur in a meeting with a person. It may occur around the dinner table with a family. It may occur in a conversation with a friend. Really showing up, fully, totally conscious. Creating that next millimeter, and then the next millimeter. If we hate our life now, we will always hate our life. no matter how much money we have, no matter the house we live in, the cars we drive, the people we're married to, if we can't find a joy in that process today, there's not enough money to make us happy. Because the happiness doesn't come from the money. It comes from the decision to be happy. That sucks. But I'm okay. Let us spend a new week. Let's do a do-over on our power sessions. Let's get really serious about this. Really serious about this. Read that scroll 5 and listen to your thought process. Try to keep you from reading it. Scroll 9, listen again at midday. Scroll 7. Is that thing over there that sucks trying to talk you out of the very thing that will help you stay here in charge and in control of your life? So that you can, in fact, partner with a power greater than yourself and connect with people and use your mind constructively and ignite your passion and drive your focus and discipline, effort, and action? Are we going to let it keep talking us out of being authentic? Three ways we heal our self-esteem. We connect with people. We get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. And we feel a sense of accomplishment when we actually take action. And those thoughts become accomplished deeds. That's how we heal self-esteem. So, if you're up for it, let's take power sessions on one more week. And next week, after you've reported, I want you to be prepared. Don't read it until the day before our meeting or listen to it. Structure and discipline and structure. We're going to start taking on those thought processes that are in rebellion, those thought processes that want to keep you from reading the scrolls, those thought processes that want to keep sucking you into that place over there, that resistance and resentment, where it comes from, why it's so powerful, and begin the process of letting it go and surrendering. Okay, well, we're up. Wow, this time flew by tonight. That's amazing. Is there anyone who would like to say something before we close? Yes. I hear you.
I didn't know if somebody else wanted it. I just wanted to ask if you could review that, how to heal self-esteem. I didn't get it all. Connect with people, inspired something, and
okay,
I'll
review with you one more time.
Okay.
The three primary ways to heal self-esteem is first of all by connecting with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're focusing on other people and serving them, we become partners with a power greater than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we can feel that power working in our lives. It awakens our divine nature.
Mm.
That's the first thing. Thanks for having me explain that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Two, when we use our mind constructively, we are connected to that power. When our mind is clear of catastrophe and fantasy and counterfeit pleasure and anger and overwhelm, all the stuff that sucks the energy out of us, when we are okay and we begin mentally rehearsing, seeking inspiration, problem solving, exploring, planning, goal setting, when we're in constructive thought process, that power manifest divinely inspired ideas. And we know when they come. You know, Alexandra, you've had these moments before. I know you had them when you're writing your books, when you're working with people. You just, whew. And you know as a scientist that when you get those ideas, if your head is wired to a functional MRI, you'd actually have parts of your brain light up we normally don't use. It's a physiological reality. Whew. It's such a glorious thing when something comes from beyond us.
Mm.
divinely inspired idea, impressionist, the solution to the problem. It can never come if we're in fantasy. That power does not live in fantasy. It does not live in catastrophe. It does not live in overwhelm, fear, and anxiety and anger. It lives in constructive thought. And when we spend our time there, we're more likely to get one of those inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. That ignites our passion, our willingness to suffer for something we love. We feel something awaken inside our soul. We start to feel who we really are. And third, when we take that passion and go into action, you get a sense of accomplishment when the thought becomes an accomplished deed, as James Allen writes about, and as a man thinketh. But there are two other things that happen. We talked about them briefly last week. One, we're actually endowed with more ability when we fully maximize that which we've already been given. And we know when it comes. You can feel it. And second, and most sacred of all, people are put on our path who we can serve and who can serve us. It is miraculous to watch and witness, and it is humbling to witness. We know that we are known. Connecting with people wakes our divine nature. Using our mind constructively gives us inspired ideas that are manifest, that awaken our soul. When we're in action, we know that we're known. That's why those three things are the greatest ways to heal self-esteem. We can go through all kinds of techniques and things. Those are helpful. But those three things, which require us to be engaged in the connection, consciously engaged in the mental creation, consciously engaged in the physical action, and we begin to heal. That's why Og said, "Now I know that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, peace of mind."
Wow.
That's the ultimate self-esteem, peace of mind. Being at peace with yourself. Still, quiet, and okay. Thanks for asking.
Thank you.
I will ask this. Is there anyone else that wants to add something before we close tonight? Just wanted to give you that opportunity.
Dave?
Yes.
This is Martina.
Hi, Martina.
Hi, how are you?
Doing really well.
I've really...
Thanks for doing this, by the way, being courageous.
Well, I listened to Cynthia and about Molly, and I just wanted to share with her that I've been where Molly is several times and didn't know that I had an eating disorder. It sounds like that's what's going on with her.
Compounded by alcoholism, huh?
Oh, is she? Okay, I thought it was an eating disorder. Okay. Well, I just felt her concern for her daughter because of the experiences that I have been through. You know, I wrote a book of poetry, and that book was written after my parents had been killed in a car accident, and my mother and father didn't know what was wrong with me for so many years, and they suffered right along with me, and there were several things that happened in my life that none of us understood, and I just wanted her to know, Cynthia, to know that after my parents passed away, this may sound a little strange, but the poetry I wrote came through. I felt that they were there with me, and they helped me to recognize what had been going on with me all those years. I was sent to a doctor who finally diagnosed what I'd had. There may be something in that book that she may be able to connect with. I don't know, but I just thought I would share that.
I have a copy of it at my office. Where could she get a copy?
She could get it off Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. And give her the name of the book.
The name of the book is Life's Little Reminders.
And then, Cynthia, if you have any challenges getting that, let me know, and I'll let you borrow my copy.
For some reason, I just picked up that I thought that she was having an eating disorder. Alcoholism is an addiction. Eating disorder is an addiction. So.
Yes, it is, and her alcoholism has been under control, so you're right on with your inspiration that is now the challenge. And you always follow your intuition. If you were impressed to come on the line and say something, there's got to be a reason for it. So, Cynthia, let's make sure we get that book in your hands.
Okay,
and
thank you.
And, Cynthia, you could call me. I don't know where you live, but if you're in the Sandy area, I could get a copy to you.
She's up in Idaho.
In Idaho, okay.
Why don't you give her your phone number, and then you two can connect.
Okay. My phone number is 801-561-8203.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I will call you.
Okay. I'll look forward to speaking with you.
Thank you so very much. And thanks, everyone, this evening, this week. You know, that sucks, but I'm okay. Let's be okay and take on these power sessions and see what we can do to advance our dreams a few more millimeters over the course of the next few days. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave. Bye.